the current banger that I've been playing non-stop over the last week. Hi guys, welcome back to my channel. Yes, so I realize now that I haven't actually posted anything this year. I was so sure I did something in January. Turns out it was 30th December, but I've missed you guys. I was meant to record this last week, but life kept getting in the way. That and a bit of load shedding as well, which I'm going to explain just now. But I hope you guys have been well. I've been away for so long that I didn't even know that Anchor is now known as Spotify Podcasters. It took me like quite a minute, to be honest, to find the app on my phone. but I'm happy to report the features still remain the same. So I'm quite glad about that, to be honest. So I've been up and about in the country, outside of the country, since January, and this inspired today's post because I've come to realize, because of me and my wanderlust, I kind of have some hacks when it comes to traveling that I thought I'd share with you, my loyal listeners, just in case. I'm sure you can pick something, a hack or two that will help you in your future travels. So this episode basically is just some life hacks when you're planning a business trip, a solo trip, a group trip, whatever it is that you're planning. So yeah, I hope they're very helpful. So number one, I think let's just start from the top. How to select a destination to go to. Personally, my wanderlust is quite, would I say major, or I just always really yearn for a new adventure, especially out of the country, even within the country as well, by the way. I don't really discriminate, but there's just something about that Kwaheri Kenya side that's just so endearing. So yeah, I think I prefer international travel, but anyway, this I think will be focused on international travel. So yeah, when you're picking your destination, personally what I do, it depends on several factors. One, I peg my choice of destination based on activities that are happening. So for instance, I'm such a sucker for festivals, music festivals, concerts, and stuff like that. So anytime I see any artist that I think I'd love to watch live and in person, that's definitely one of the ways that I select the destinations that I travel to. Two, you know, we all have friends and family in different parts of the globe. I think that's actually a splendid way to just go spend time with them, and of course free accommodation. So I think that's a really good way to choose where to stay. And then, you know, everybody has a travel bucket list. I try to make one every year. My travel list for this year, unfortunately, I have this terrible habit of being a repeat offender. So I tend to go to the same places a lot, which is terrible. But to be honest, there's a lot of comfort in going to a place where you've been before, because you're used to the area, you know the places to go, you know what the weather is like, you know, you're used to it. So personally, the places I tend to go to a lot. I've been to Cape Town, I think, 3 times. I've been to Johannesburg 3 times as well. I've been to America 3 times. I've been to London 2 times. I've been to Dubai 2 times. And then what other country have I been to? I've been to Uganda. I've been to Tanzania. I've been to Spain. I was in Barcelona. Heard how I say that, Barcelona. I haven't gone to Ibiza, but anyway, it's hopefully one day. It's not really top of my bucket list, but I think for this year, I want to go to New York. I know it's a disease, but I really like the place. I've been there 2 times, traveled there alone 1 time, you know, of the 2 times, and it's really, I'm just really comfortable there. I think it's quite conducive, especially for foreigners, and it's just a fun place to be. I love the big Apple has my heart. I also want to go to London as well. The last time I was there was out of a whim because my visa was expiring. I went there for a week alone and I honestly had the best time, so I want to go and recreate that again. And I'm seriously considering going to Ghana for Dirty December this year. I'm I don't want the stress of trying to get like a group of people to go with, because I struggled with that last week when I was in Johannesburg. But anyway, I think we'll find a way. So yeah, I think those are the main destinations that are in my bucket list. I'm also hoping and manifesting very many free trips. I'm hoping to get flown out more. So manifest with me. Okay, fine. So we've selected our destination. Oh, another thing I think you need to consider, especially given the fact that we're Africans living in Kenya. I think when you're choosing a destination, you really have to consider the number of hours it takes to travel there and then the visa requirements. Being African is sometimes the ghetto because there's some places that have the most impossible visa requirements. So I think whenever you're choosing a destination, it's important to know what the entry requirements to the country are. And especially if you know you're going somewhere that, for instance, requires a UK visa or a Schengen visa, make sure you give yourself like a month just to be able to get all those things in order before your trip so that you don't get disappointed. So fine, you've selected your destination. So when it comes to now properly like organizing, when it comes to airfare and accommodation, so personally I do two things. I either plan the entire trip myself or I work with a travel agent. Most of the time I prefer to do it myself. And anyway, regardless of where I'm going, I always check the airfare. So far I've flown with the major carriers, KQ, ET, Qatar, and Turkish Airlines. And yeah, I think it's just important if you decide you're going to a specific country, just go to the website and check. You'll usually find that Mondays and Fridays are quite pricey, I think because it's the weekend. So the odd days, like the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, are mostly cheaper. So for me, what I prefer whenever I travel is to just ensure that I'm spending a weekend in that destination. So you usually find I'll travel either on a Wednesday or a Thursday and then probably come back. Probably return Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Yeah. I think the longest I've ever traveled was for 2 weeks, which was in America, and I got to do a lot because I was in New York, I was in Washington, I was in Boston, then went back to New York. It was a really fun trip. Also when it comes to using a travel agent, I think it's quite convenient, especially if you are traveling on a budget. They're quite convenient because some of them can allow you to pay for tickets in installments. You will sometimes find like the travel agent is more expensive than buying directly from the website. So I think it depends on the state of your pocket and the state of your finances. I think they're also quite handy when it comes to helping you get a visa. For instance, when I travel to Dubai, I usually use a travel agent because they really help when it comes to getting a visa. I have no idea where they get them from. I've never been to the embassy of UAE, so I use a travel agent. All you need to do is send them a copy of your passport bio page and then you pay them. I think it's about 12,000 or 13,000 Kenya shillings. Another reason why booking with travel agents sometimes is very convenient is because they can help you make any changes that you need. For instance, if you miss a flight, they can easily organize something for you, or rebook your tickets. So yeah, I think those are factors to consider when you're planning a trip. When it comes to accommodation, I'm not gonna lie, because I do a lot of solo travel, I make my bookings myself primarily through booking.com. If you have the app, they actually have some discounted rates when you use the app as well, and then they try and encourage you to book with them more often, so they give you like discount codes or they credit your account with a certain amount of money. And I like it because you get the reviews, you get to see the state of the hotel that you want to use. So I think they have hotels and they have apartments. Personally, when I'm traveling alone, I prefer to stay at a hotel. And don't get me wrong, I'm not here living laps of luxury. For me, especially when I'm traveling alone, the hotel is for showering, sleeping, and storing my luggage. Like, I tend to spend most of my time outside of the hotel. So, yeah. But this last week, though, I stayed in a really nice hotel. I was at Holiday Inn in Rosebank, which I really enjoyed. Had a beautiful view of the city. The mall was right next door, so you can imagine how crazy that was. I could walk to McDonald's, KFC, Tasha's, like everything was just a footstep away. So even it made shopping so much easier. I 10 over 10 would recommend if you're ever going to Johannesburg, book your stay at the Holiday Inn. Yeah. I think if you're staying with a group of people, it can be convenient to book an Airbnb. And you guys know how Airbnb works. Basically, people have rented off their houses, have rented out their houses to tourists and visitors and stuff like that. You'll find, especially in countries like America and the UK, people tend to sublet rooms in their houses. So, for instance, if you live in a two-bedroom, you'll find that someone has sublet like the master bedroom and they tell you there's like a separate entrance or whatever. So personally, that's not for me. I can't imagine sharing a house with a stranger. So that's usually a bit difficult for me. So that's why you see I end up usually staying in a proper hotel. So yeah, I think those are the main options, especially if you're going to a foreign country, booking.com or Airbnb. You can also, I guess, try just booking directly with the hotels you want to stay in. So yeah, I think we've covered booking the holiday. And then if you're going like for a work trip, let's say you're going for a conference or something, I think to help you find a place to stay, you need to first find out the location of where the conference is happening. If you can make a reservation at the same hotel, for instance, I think that would be very convenient for you, as you'll be able to just go down to the conference, go to your room or whatever. I also base the locations of where I want to stay based off of proximity to restaurants, shopping malls, or whatever it is I want to explore in that country. I think that's just a good way of making sure you take maximum advantage of the trip that you're booking. So yeah, I think keep that in mind whenever you're booking somewhere to stay, or if a place has already been booked for you, just get to know in advance what things are surrounding you. Like I said, restaurants, shopping malls, hotels, whatever it is that's there, so that you can get better acquainted with the area before you go there. So it's fine, you've booked your trip. I already talked about visas. I think just give yourself about a month to process the visa, go for the appointment, do everything. Make sure you follow all the instructions that are on the website when it comes to visa requirements, simply so that you don't go and waste your time in the embassy or in the VSF or whatever it is that you're going. So just take time to understand all the requirements, even if you need to print it out and like tick it off like a checklist, just to ensure you have your bank statements, you have your hotel bookings, you have your flight reservations. Like, just make sure you have everything before you go to the booking office. Most of the time, you'll find that some centers have what do I call it, cybers. For instance, like the VSF on Muthangari, right next to where Jay's used to be. That's where guys usually go to process for, or previously went to process for South African visas. And I think there's Australia or something. Anyway, they have a place where you can print stuff. But anyway, you just go with everything that you need based on what they've listed on the website. Okay, fine. So your trip is booked. You have your visa. Personally, what I like to do is to ensure that I check in online a day before, or immediately the airline gives you the notice that checking in is now open. So I prefer to do it simply for peace of mind. I think the expressway has made traveling way, way easier, but I still prefer actually going to the airport 3 hours in advance. My travel anxiety sometimes can go through the roof, so I usually just prefer to make sure all my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted. Just discovered that Art Cafe opened in one of the terminals, actually Terminal 23 and 24. So if you have time, you should definitely check it out. They've opened a Prosera bar. If you don't know, Prosera is a locally manufactured gin that was very, very hard to come by. In fact, anyone who got their hands on a bottle was always told, and that's in Kenya, because they give you a bottle. The bottle is crafted from Kitengela glass, very, very pretty bottle. Most of the time, you'll find many people get it personalized, with their names in it, on it. Yeah, but now there's a whole like bar in the airport. I wish it was a bit bigger. It's simply like half the counter, next to Art Cafe. They just have three bar seats actually, but they sell the whole range of Prosera, ranging between 12,000 Kenya shillings to 16,000. I think it's still pretty new because even when I asked about the cost of like a shot or whatever, the attendants didn't really know about that. But anyway, I think it's a good way to pass time. So what I've come to learn in my travels, I'm not a fan. I don't understand how people travel in sneakers, like laced up sneakers or boots or heels. I'm the type, comfort is life. I know it doesn't work for me as a girl because I basically travel looking like a bum. You'll find me mostly in like sweats or a very long dera like dress and a hoodie or whatever. But this last experience was a bit traumatizing because the guy in front of me, I think, was transiting from another flight and he smelled so bad. I've never been so happy to be in socks because I was just like, ew, my feet are touching where his bare feet are touching, and it was smelly. It smelled so bad. And then also, I forgot I went through my first racist experience. This so while I was sitting at Art Cafe, waiting for my flight. Oh, that's another top tip. When you're waiting for your wait, I'll get to that. Let me finish my story. So I'm sitting there having my breakfast, and this Chinese lady who's having a video call with her kids in China starts showing the camera, like showing the kids, pointing her camera at me and showing the kids, oh, there's a black girl, say hi. And then she's telling me, say, she's not even telling me hi, like she's not instructing me in English, she's telling me, say hi, say hi. And I was just like, gosh, I've never felt like I'm on display as much as I did that time. Anyway, I waved, the kids were cute, but I was just like, wow, in my own country. So anyway, something else that I always make sure that I do when I have a flight is to, don't judge me. One, I always try to, depending on the destination that I'm going to, I will buy mini bottles of what? My mini bottles of alcohol. If it's a nighttime flight, I'll buy those bottles. So I'll buy just like two of them, nothing too crazy. Also, depending again on where you're going, countries like Dubai, though, they've become less lenient. I mean, they become more lenient when it comes to alcohol. It's just easier to buy your alcohol from our local duty free so that when you get there, you don't have to buy expensive alcohol from the country. I remember there was a time, yeah, so basically, there was a time in Dubai you could not find alcohol, or if you find alcohol, it was hella expensive. So the top tip was always just to buy from the Kenyan duty free. Like I said, I also prefer to eat from the Kenyan duty free. Because plain food can be trash. Honestly, it can be terrible. So I think it's just easier to buy your food or eat at home and then just go to the plane and have like dessert or something. Yeah. So yeah, you're flying in the sky. I used to really hate on travel pillows till I got one. And I was like, wow, my whole life changed, honestly. I used to find it very pretentious. I guess that says a lot about me. Until I got one and I realized the type of support it gives your neck when you're sleeping on the plane. And you know, most of the time I fly economy. and unfortunately, there are times when you find yourself sandwiched between people where you're not very comfortable and you find it's like a long haul flight and you need to sleep well. I don't like to recline my seat because I find it so unfair to the person sitting behind me. So travel pillows really help, it really works. Unfortunately, I've lost like two of them. I lost my travel pillow about 3 weeks ago when I was going to Johannesburg. And yeah, another top tip, if you leave anything on the plane, you'll never find it. So make sure before you get off the plane, before you get off the plane, ensure you thoroughly inspect your seat and make sure you've taken everything from the plane. So yeah, travel pillows really help. Another thing that I do, I usually like to download like my favorite shows, whether it's on Netflix or Showmax. I like to download them on my iPad, make sure my AirPods are fully charged, my power bank is fully charged, such that in the case where you're flying on a smaller plane without entertainment, at least I can entertain myself. Which is sad because I used to be a book girl, but I still don't have, I don't have the, what do you call it? Not the capacity. My attention span is dead. I really blame TikTok. So I've really struggled. I carry books with me. I never even open them. So I just watch my favorite shows on my iPad in case the in-flight entertainment isn't working out for me. Another tip, I don't know if I should say this, but anyway, just try your luck. When you're booking your ticket, sometimes the airline will send you a notification saying that you have a chance to upgrade. And I think this is a really nice opportunity because you'll get to upgrade at a cost lower than the actual cost of a business flight ticket. So like for instance, for KQ, basically you can bid to be upgraded. So they give you like a range. So it can range from like $250 to like $600. And yeah, so you make your bid and then they tell you whether you've been upgraded or not. You can actually also choose to be upgraded as you're checking in at the airport as well. You just basically just ask the cost of that. I've never done that. My money isn't as long as I'd want it to be. So my other top tip is, if you know any pilot in any of the airlines you fly with, reach out to them and ask them whether they can hook you up, because they can talk to the passer, and if the flight isn't full, you can be lucky enough to be bumped up. So as I say, shoot your shot and see how that goes. Yeah, so that personally I can say that's worked for me a couple of times. One, my flight to New York, I was bumped up. It was magic. I think it's like a 10-hour flight. I felt like I was on the plane for like 2 hours. The bottomless champs helps, definitely helps a whole lot. It really does. Yeah, so once you get to the airport, customs, let's talk about baggage claim. I once had a suitcase. I had a purple suitcase. And I thought, wow, it's such a pretty color. Oh, it's so pretty, blah, blah, blah. And then when I went to the airport, there were like four other suitcases that looked exactly the same. And it was hell trying to figure out which was my suitcase. So luckily, I always have padlocks for my suitcases, by the way. So make sure you do that. If you don't have a padlock, you can get your luggage wrapped. So I don't advocate for wrapping every single time. For me, I think it depends on the destination that you're going to. It also depends on how strict their customs are. So a country like South Africa, for instance, I don't know what happens in the airports. Like twice my luggage has been ransacked, a couple of things have gone missing. So that's a country I'd advocate for you to wrap your luggage when you're traveling to that destination. Again, if you have stuff, I remember there was a time when customs was crazy. Like they can just select you to stop and open your luggage. So I think wrapping it really deterred them from having to rummage through your stuff. But yeah, so I always have padlocks. I have two of them. As a standard, every time I'm traveling, I like to carry two huge suitcases and probably like a smaller one for hand luggage. That's if, especially if I'm going to a destination where I know I'll do a lot of shopping. So another thing, if you know you have a suitcase that's a common color, just try and like mark it with something that you can easily identify it with. So you can put like a ribbon, or you can buy like luggage condoms. I don't know what they're called. I've been seeing some guys with that on their luggage. I haven't managed to find any yet. So for me, luckily I have one of my suitcases is just has cartoons all over it. And then I bought a bigger suitcase that just has, what I love about it, it has the combination lock. So it's quite secure. And yeah, I haven't seen many people with either of my suitcases. So that's made my life very, very easy. And then they still duty free in the country where you land. So again, I'm, I, I pride myself in being someone who's always prepared. So if you need like a drink on the go, or you need like some snacks or whatever, do that. Check out the local duty free. Another thing, I can never leave an airport or a foreign country without buying a SIM card. I think it's just way easier to get that shit done in the airport. So by the time you're leaving, you have network, you have internet, and nothing disturbs you. Again, I prefer to do this because I solo travel a lot. If you're in a group of people, I think you can just select like one or two people to get a line, and then you can tether off their internet. But for me, I don't like waiting like till I get to my hotel and then go to the mall. I find it quite tasking. So yeah, I usually get my lines from there. I also travel with two phones because what's the reason? Okay, one, I have an eSIM on my phone, which makes it quite convenient. Basically, it's turned my iPhone into a dual SIM phone. I don't, however, like to put the new SIM card in the phone because I like being off the grid. Like, you will call me and I will be Mteja. If you want to reach me, WhatsApp me. I don't need you calling me. So that's why I like it on my other phones. I just use my phone to tether my main phone, my primary line. So yeah, I think that's what I do. So if you have time, go and get yourself an eSIM if you don't have two phones. I know not everyone has two phones, so get an eSIM. I think both local networks have eSIMs available at their shops, so get that. So yeah, you can call an Uber from the airport and go to the hotel. If you're planning ahead while you're making your booking, you can definitely call the hotel and find out how much it is for airport transfers. I discovered they're more expensive than Ubering, so you just Uber. Uber works any country. You don't have to change any setting. In fact, I think the only thing that you need to do is probably to register the new local number that you're using in the country that you're in, simply because sometimes the Uber driver may need to get in touch with you. So yeah, I think something that I need to add, if by any chance you miss a flight, make sure after you get like the next flight or whatever, make sure you find out about your return, because most of the time when you miss a flight, it also affects your return flight. So don't be caught slipping. Also, I think when you're booking your flight, be mindful of the timings. I know someone who thought that 2 a.m., let's say like today's what? Today's Tuesday, 2 a.m. They thought that was 2 a.m. tonight rather than 2 a.m. Monday night. So always be very mindful of the timings of your flight so that you don't delay or don't get left by your flight. Wow, we're almost at 30 minutes. I think this is one of my longest episodes. So, okay, fine. So you're in the country that you're traveling with. Sometimes you may not have like a proper itinerary. Like, for example, when I solo travel, I'm very loose. Like, I'm down for anything. So whenever I go to a country, I try and find out like what concerts are happening. There's some websites that just give you that information. So you can just say what's happening in New York this week, what's happening in Cape Town this week, and you'll get like a bevy of listings of activities that are happening and events that are happening. There are some places which are known for certain things. So if you know you want to go to Cape Town, there are so many wineries. It's insane for you not to go for a wine tour if you're in Cape Town, or not to go to Table Mountain, which I'm still yet to do. I haven't even gone to the Penguin. So please don't be surprised. Don't shout at me if you I'm going back to South Africa. But I'm gonna try not to pay for my own trip to South Africa again. But yeah, so different destinations have different tourist sites and different activities that are happening based on your interests. All that information is available on Google. All you need to do is just Google what's happening that week. Another tip, these are one of the rare times I actually go to Facebook. If you go to the events tab, you can actually filter events based off of your location. So it'll pick up events that are happening in the city you're currently in. Let's say like for that week, you can even filter based on the exact day that you want to go to. So I think that can also help you find things to do. I also just holler at people who I know live in the specific country that I'm going to. You'll find especially foreigners from home are so accommodating, so welcoming, so kind. They're honestly just a joy to hang out with. They make time for you. Of course, I'm sure it can be draining for them, but they're so gracious. So don't feel shy to hit anyone up. Even though you haven't met them, I'm sure you're gonna have the best time. I think for me, all the even strangers that I've met in foreign countries have been so kind to me, have shown me such an amazing time. And I usually say I hope I can return the favor for anyone who's traveling to Kenya. Just be ready to drink a copious amounts of shots. I'm sorry in advance. Sorry, not sorry. Yes, so one last thing again, when it comes to traveling, my last few trips, I haven't really been keen on traveling with cash. I'm not a big fan of that. And that's because some countries, I remember, okay, though I haven't done this in a while, I remember when I used to travel to America, they used to make us sign a form before we land where they're telling you to declare what it is that you're carrying. So if you're carrying, there are some countries that wouldn't allow you to enter with a certain amount of cash. So you kind of have to declare that, let's say you don't have like more than $1,000. I don't remember if it was 1,000 or 10,000. I'm not quite sure. So yeah, it made me really uncomfortable. So even when I there's some places I will go with cash, but I think I've stopped that. I haven't done that this year. What I will say, you can talk to your bank and negotiate on a good rate, whether it's a dollar rate or the rate, the currency of the country that you're going to. For me, I don't think it makes sense to buy dollars to go to a country that doesn't use dollars. That makes no sense to me. But you will find sometimes when you compare banks versus forex bureaus, sometimes you'll find the forex bureaus are cheaper. So I guess it's up to you. You will be able to exchange money in the airport as well. But I think in most of the countries you'll find they either have Uber or like in Dubai their cabs have PDQ, so you can just swipe whenever you're using the taxis. So I think for me, I'm just I link my Uber to my credit or debit card, so I'm virtual. I'm in Kenya, I'm M-Pesa. In foreign countries, I just swipe my card, so I'm not quite insistent on traveling with cash. I think it's more of a liability. I also find that I end up spending a bit more when I have cash in hand. And then what else did I want to say? What else did I want to say? Okay, I think that's it for me. I don't know if I have any other tip. Right now, it's failing me. So anyway, I hope these tips helped you when you're planning. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. This is what I get for not writing proper notes down. When you're traveling as a group, if you're like three or more people, you'll find yourselves tending to make payments for other things. Like if you're taking a cab, no one has time for everyone to changa. Or like you're buying a round of drinks, or you're, doing anything. So I recommend you download this app known as Splitwise. It's an amazing app. Kudos to whoever developed it. So basically, if we're taking a cab, for instance, all I need to do is say I spent $15 on this Uber ride. So you enter, make an entry on the app and say you paid for two other people, you paid a total of $15, and it'll divide the amount and tell you that the other two people owe you, sorry, my mental math sucks, owes you $4.50 or whatever. So basically it'll be able to tally for you during the entire trip if you're very, oh, what's the word? If you're very headfast about logging in the entries, it'll be able to put for you all your entries and tell you the amount of money you each owe each other, and you can square off and pay your bills. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. Happy travels. I really hope this helps you in your future travels. Stay safe and peace out.